Blog Talk Radio.
In this time of desperation, when all we know is doubt and fear, there is only one foundation. We believe, we believe.
Coming back.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank you for coming, and we appreciate your presence at this 2017 AEN Candidacy Preparation Training for Ordination and Consecration. We appreciate your commitment to these weekly meetings, and I'm excited. And it is our desire as a organization and as your support to make sure all of that you need, all of the resources are made available to you. We are here for you. We come on a weekly basis so that we can continue to interact with one another, so that that which we have for you to do and that which you have for us to understand and know as it relates to you is available to you. So we appreciate that. We thank you for the time that you take and you've dedicated to this. It is very important. Your presence is important. We're putting everybody on speaker, and so we ask that you put your phones on mute so that any background noise doesn't come through. And then if you desire to or have a need to or required to participate, just take your phones off mute. But I do want you to understand that it does take 3 or 4 seconds. So don't be discouraged if you're not immediately hearing your voice. Just do continue to talk, because it feeds back, but just at a slower pace. So you don't have to hesitate. You can go forth. If there's a problem with the communication for your hearing and the technical aspect of things, or if you have a question that you want to address, we ask that you either put your phone on speaker and share, or for technical issues, just text me. And my phone number is 630-701-4303. So now that we have gotten some of the technical information out to you, we will ask that one of our prayer will be brought by one of the male leaders on the line. So please take the initiative and just come forth in our opening prayer. Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this hour, Lord. We thank you for each and every one of the candidates, God, including myself. We pray that you continue, Lord, to open up our hearts and our minds. Father, continue to have that burning desire, God, to go out there into the field, oh, Lord, and share what you have done with us to those that are in need, God, for peace. Father, we thank you for technology. God, how that it has brought us together, near and far. And we pray tonight, God, for each and every one that are participating, God, that you just have your way. Strengthen them, Lord. Encourage them, oh, God, to be bold. And we thank you for this day. We love you, God, and continue to let the love and the light for each and every one of us continue to unite, God, so that we become a global light. Father, we love you. Thank you. In your name we pray tonight. Amen, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder Parker. Amen. So we do want to start our session off tonight. We have some presenters that need to present, and we are looking at our theme for our accountability topic is wise counsel. The presenters will be Minister Mildred Bailey and Pastor Linda Barnes. We also have Minister Winfrey Johnson and Minister Barlett on task today, along with their accountability partners, to present to us a response to our questions, which the question for this week is, discuss briefly your biblical understanding of men and women in church leadership roles and ministry involvement. I'll read it again. Briefly discuss your biblical understanding of men and women in church leadership roles and ministry involvement. That is the question of the hour. We also presented the opportunity for anyone who wants to address our and to continue in our study of the prophetic declaration that was presented to us at our first meeting by our by Prophet Michael and the scriptural preparation that should be a part of our daily study, and that is the Noah assignment from Genesis, the provision from Nehemiah, the passion from 1 Samuel, and the garments from Exodus. So anyone desiring to bring forth something on those four areas of our preparation, I ask you to text it to me so that we may schedule it for our meeting. And we can do it today if you so desire. We also today are going to hear from Bishop Nathaniel Isaac, and today's outlook is on, if I'm not mistaken, ministers and elders. And then we will have Elder Dr. Arlette Parker bringing us insight and introducing us to what our consecration is going to involve. So we want to start with our question for today from Minister Winthrow Johnson and Minister Barrett, and their accountability partners. Okay. Are you on the line, Minister Winthrow Johnson and Minister Barrett? And your accountability partners. Elder Roberta McIntyre. And perhaps while these ladies are getting ready, we will go to Minister Mildred Bailey, accountability partner, element of wise counsel. And that's taken from the scripture of, as I'm looking for it, wise counsel.
Proverbs 12:15.
Thank you, Elder. All right.
You're welcome.
Minister Bailey? Well, we'll start with Elder Ever. There's a lot
okay.
of you on the line.
Good evening. Just a brief word regarding that. I didn't prepare anything specifically, but that word in the book of Proverbs where it says a fool, let me just actually get it so I can have it in front of me, but I know it says a fool. The way of a fool, this is the Amplified version, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who listens to counsel is wise. And from the standpoint of accountability, we want on both sides, but specifically we want the candidates to understand that the accountability partners are working on their behalf, praying on their behalf, interceding for them, asking the Lord what it is that they need to say so that they can be in a position to give them wise counsel. But if there is not a two-way communication, if there is not a dialogue that is happening, then it hinders even what to pray for. And certainly we know that the Holy Spirit is intelligent, and we don't have to specifically address. But the hope is that there is conversation going back and dialogue, and it's two-way and being transparent, so that if there are areas where there might be a struggle or some challenges for the candidate specifically, possibly this may be affecting your home life, you know, maybe your time away in study and preparation, the area of balance, the just your being convinced of the process and being dedicated and passionate about it as the one of the tenets of this ordination piece, the piece, the scripture in Samuel. You know, are you having some trepidation there? So when you have open conversations and you share, then it is the job of the accountability partner to come with wise counsel, not their own counsel, but what thus says the word of the Lord, and they should be able to take you back to the word on as a foundation piece on what they're sharing with you, because we can have tunnel vision, and one of the things that the accountability process does is hopefully add fresh eyes to your process. That is why you are paired with someone who has already gone through the process. They understand the rigors. They understand the sacrifices that it takes, all of those things and more. So I just wanted to just give that out. Hopefully that has been helpful, you know, for that. And, you know, and I thank God that, you know, in my processes, I've had two very great accountability partners. So, you know, take advantage of the opportunity, share. You know, this is a confidential situation. You can share. It won't be shared with anyone else, and allow it to bless you and allow you to mature and grow as you go through this process.
Amen. Thank you so much, Elder. And Minister Bailey?
You're welcome.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Am I heard? I can't tell. Okay. I was supposed to do the wise counsel in looking in the Amplified Bible that we were instructed to use. It says the way of the arrogant fool who rejects God's wisdom is right in his own eyes, but a wise and pertinent man is he who listens to counsel. Okay, what I got from that is that we can be great in our own eyes, and we can have an elevated perception of self and of our understanding of things. We can view self through rose-colored glasses, and we view others through bifocals. We don't see our ways unless guided or directed by wise counsel, which is the blessing of having an accountability partner. The Amplified Study Bible calls one who is right in his own eyes a fool. And they didn't just call him a fool. They call him an arrogant fool. And they said that is one who is rejecting God's wisdom. 12:15 also explains that a wise and pertinent man listens to counsel. And listening to my accountability partner, these are people who have gone through the process. I call it the been there and done that. And they're there to assist my journey or my transition so that I'll be able, or we will as candidates, be able to look through a new pair of glasses. We will have a closer relationship with God when we seek counsel that is wise, and we need to ask advice and understanding from our partners, and understand that our partners are men and women of experience. They are longer standing, and they are wiser than ourselves. They counsel the word of God about the right way of our walk, worship, and salvation. And they are able to help us with our salvation. And it says the council, we seek the council of ministers and we obey it, and especially they lead us to a closer relationship to be able to help others. And that's what I got from it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. And so we are going to continue with our presentation, a wonderful presentation by Minister Bailey. And, you know, we do ask that you you can share. I mean, this is interactive. You don't have to sit there in silence. You know, we have like 40 people on the line and no one is saying a word. You know, and I know it's a different kind of venue, but that's why we're doing this, so that you can gain the experience of sharing, of speaking up, of taking initiative. You are now leaders. You're now being groomed to take the lead in things and to share what Holy Spirit lays upon your heart and the anointing that is on your life. And so we do. We expect it. We're just not here to talk at you, but to talk with you. So if Minister Winthrop Johnson and Minister Barrett is on the line, please take your phones off mute and you can start sharing. And if you are their accountability partners, you may share as well. Our question to the day is to briefly discuss your biblical understanding of men and women in church leadership roles and ministry involvement. Amen? Amen. Amen. Free to do it. Well, a bishop,
overseer,
while we're waiting. Yes, yes.
I'm sorry, this is Apostle Overton. I'm on with Sister Renfro. I'm her accountability partner, prepared for her to present. She told me she's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if the other people had made it on the line, but I know she told me she was set up to present if she wanted to, if she were able to go in their stead.
Say that one more time. I'm sorry. You can bring.
I'm
the,
sorry.
Bring the
my phone was going off.
Okay.
Hold on one second. I'm understanding that Sister Renfro was supposed to present tonight as well, correct?
Yes. Her and her accountability part.
Okay, so that's
yes,
myself.
Ma'am. That's yes, ma'am.
And so I was asking, I didn't hear the other individuals speak up, so I was wondering, would she be able to go ahead, or did you have something else in place?
No, I mean, who's ever on the line can come forth and address this question. Any of four people, y'all just jump right in it. And since you're on the line, you can start, Apostle.
She keeps we're not muted. She hears me. If you want to go ahead on it, Sister Renfro, if you want to go ahead on and do it the way we exercised on the phone last night. She says her phone is muted. Is her mic open?
Okay, her mic is open. She's coming and going.
Thank
or
you.
Something.
Hello.
Okay. There you
can
go.
Can you hear us
all
now?
Right. Yes, we can hear you.
Okay,
okay.
Here we go.
You know, we've been listening to you all discuss and everything. We're like, they cannot hear us. We don't know what's going on.
Okay. Anytime
but
that
okay.
happens thank to anybody. Okay, but anytime that happens, just send me
all
a
right.
text. Okay?
All
anybody
right.
on the line, if that's happening, just send me a text. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Okay, I know that we are supposed to be discussing our biblical understanding of men and women in church leadership roles and ministry involvement. And I know that both myself and Minister Kai, during our research, of course, we have found that there is great divisement when it comes to both men and women being in leadership positions as well as their role in ministry. We have found that this is very much so, I guess for lack of a better word, a lot of the information, a lot of the research and we came across comes from is such a male-dominant perspective where it stands basically on men being the lead role in absolutely everything and the women being, for lack of a better word, subservient to it. However, even throughout this, we have found and concluded as well that at the end of the day, of course, God can use whomever it is that he wants when he wants in whatever capacity he sees fit in order to bring his desired outcome into fruition. And so at that point, we did a split on even identifying men and women in leadership roles throughout the Bible. We have referenced Deborah, who was being a judge, who was called on even being a prophet, you know, even as a governmental leader in Judges 2 and 16. We also referenced Huldah, the prophet who was called on by Josiah. Once the Torah was missing, it came up in the temple and how he reared his clothing and wanted to was repenting because of the understanding of how far Israel had transitioned and gotten away from God. And even in there, we said that, you know, even though that there were men that were prophets that were present, however, he called upon Huldah in order to get him exactly what it is that he needed. And we found that in 2 Chronicles 34, verses 14 through 33, where she not only prophesied about the destruction but and the disobedience of Israel, but she also prophesied to Josiah himself that when he passed away, he would pass in peace, having that prophecy fulfilled in 2 Kings chapter 22. What we have found throughout having to answer this question in particular is that the qualifications, the gifting and the called and being empowered to lead, it comes down to the fact that there is equality when it comes to both the men and the women. We believe that God is looking for one that will feel, obey, and do what it is that he is called to do rather than the focus being on whether or not it is a man or a woman. And so I'm going to turn this over to Minister Kai and let her elaborate a little bit more as far as the men are concerned.
So in the search and with the premise that we just discussed about the equality piece, looking specifically for men, and when I say men, I mean the terms used in their language according to men, male species, as opposed to men, anthropos, or pios, which is human being. So specific to men, 1 Timothy verse 8 talks about men praying and lifting holy hands without wrath and dissension. There are indicators about the bishop being the husband of one wife, but later in that text it goes on to describe what a woman should be and do. So I don't know that that necessarily negates women from being a bishop, but again, those go hand in hand with the husband of one wife as a description of the bishop. And then in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3, which comes from the basis of Genesis, man is the head of woman, and man is under Christ. 1 Corinthians 14 talks about a man shall be the spiritual leader of the family. And I say that because in the text, it indicates that women who have questions, concerns, or issues should not stand up in the midst of service and blurt those out seeking answers, but rather should go home to their husband or their spouse, or if they're not having a spouse, I'm sure that meant their father, and ask the questions and get the answers that they needed, which indicates that the man is expected to be the spiritual leadership within his household where people can go and trust to get answers. The only other area where there's a true distinction are Titus 2 and 1 and Acts 2 and 17, where it differentiates older men and younger men and then older women and younger women, where it talks about older men being temperate and dignified and sensible and younger men being sensible and good deeds and purity and doctrine, and then young men seeing visions and old men dreaming dreams. In response to that, women are expected to not overly adorn themselves and to be of chaste and to be quiet and be an example. And older women are supposed to teach the younger women how to be good to the husband and serve and do various things. And so in those places, you see distinction. But when you look at the specific roles and the specific tasks and the specific leadership pieces, and you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says we are all members of the body of Christ, some called to be apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, in terms of healings, helps, administration, and tongues. There is no distinction between men and women. In Romans 12, 3 through 8, it tells us to exercise our gifts according to the grace. So we're all called to exercise according to what's been given to us in the areas of prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and mercy. Again, no distinction that, a man is not a prophet or that a woman is not a leader.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 1 Peter 4, verses 8 through 11, it says, employ your gifts to serve one another. So we are all called to serve, not women only or men only, but each and every one of us is part of the body. And then Acts 2, it says specifically that all will be able to prophesy, both sons and daughters. And 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us all to study to show ourselves approved, not just men study because they're the leaders and they're the teachers, but for everybody to study and show themselves approved.
And then there is one last scripture that we also came across in Galatians 3:28, where it just specifies that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus.
Apostle Overton?
Yes, that was
Amen.
It. Yes. I just concur. We went over this last night, and it was my role to make sure I was here as supportive service. But, yes, we did resolve that there's neither male nor female in Galatians 3. And we need to understand that it's through the faith in Christ Jesus that causes us to be the sons and daughters of him. And so as many have been baptized into Christ, then we put on Christ. So Christ has no sex nor gender in which he calls his children or either causes us to choose between having faith if you're a male, and women not having faith, but all need to have faith and believe on him for us to be called the children of Christ. This is where we're allowed to get the permission and the access to our Father.
Amen. Amen. A wonderful presentation by that team. Thank you very much. You set the bar high. We are giving these questions because these are questions that were asked during your examination. Now, it is obvious that the answers would not have been as in-depth as we're getting now, but just to give you a feel of the things that we need to know in leadership as we go forth. Now, our next week's set of questions is going to be, what is a miracle? And what is a parable, and how do they relate to one another? What is a miracle,
and what is a parable, and how do they relate to one another. Now, do we have any volunteers, or shall we draft some people as Apostle did last week? Any volunteers?
Hello?
Elder Winslow? Hello? Yes.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Okay, this is an apology. I was letting you know I was on the line and I'm getting ready to pull up to the service I'm going to, and I apologize for being absent. For I'll explain it to you later. I did get in contact with Elder Winslow, and he is out working late, so he's not on the line tonight. And I'm going to have to drop off in a couple moments because
okay.
Have a church obligation tonight.
Yes, sir. So would you take
want,
that
I did want to make you aware, and I apologize for trying to point out. I'll give you a call a little later to tell you exactly what's been going on. But so you know that Elder Winslow is not on the call tonight as well.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. All right. So do we have any volunteers?
Yes, I'll take it on. I'll overseer.
Yes, ma'am. You're going
Is that
to
Bishop?
I'm sorry.
Is that Bishop Nate?
The one that was just speaking was Apostle Holliday.
Okay. Overseer. You asked for volunteers
yes.
to talk about miracles and parables?
Yes.
Is that what you asked me for?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
You wanted a volunteer to talk about what a miracle was and what a parable was?
I'll take
yes.
it.
And how are they related?
Okay, somebody said they'll take it, and I can come in after them. That's fine.
And who are you? Say your name so we know.
Parker.
Parker and is that Elder Yvette?
Yvette, yes.
Okay. Well,
yes.
Then we're good.
Okay, Elder Yvette and Elder Parker and Apostle Overton. Amen.
Oh, good. Let them have it.
No,
they're good.
We usually have two teams. It's just fine. This is fine.
Okay.
It's because it'll come from different perspectives. This is fine. So, Elder Parker, Elder Yvette, and Apostle Overton, next week, for what is a parable, what is a miracle, and how are they related? Okay. So, now we want to continue in our session. We want to go to, we're going to get Elder Arlette Parker for our consecration. We definitely want to get some insight into the upcoming consecration, so we want to yield the floor to Elder Dr. Arlette Parker, and then after it will be Bishop Nate with our office. All right.
Good evening, good evening. Our consecration will begin on June 30th. And it will be going out via Elder Sharita sometime next week, definitely before the 28th, just so you have a little preview. We will go over some things next week once you have it before you. I do encourage you to put it out once you get in an email form. Day one and day two will be just a little bit different than what the rest of the days will be because June 30th and July 1st, we will actually just be just reading a brief excerpt from a website called Got Questions. And day one and day two, which will be June 30th and July 1st, will be June 30th will be on Christ Center and Living, and July 1st will be on what it means to live like Christ. Our consecration will be on the parables of Christ, and we will look at the parables daily. We will not have actual reading of a parable on Thursdays because we do have our conference call on Thursday, so you'll find it. If you have not done your reading, that will give you a day to catch up a little bit before conference call.
Amen.
I do encourage you to discuss your daily readings with your accountability partner and with your candidate, just in terms, because daily we will be looking at the parables as it is related to, specifically as it is related to your mission, your vision, and what you are being ordained or consecrated in. Why? Because the word is specific for you, so that you will be able to articulate that parable as it is given to you for your perspective. Each one of us, once we come together, should be able to have a obviously not a total vision of the meaning, but we will definitely have a broad vision of the meaning because we will have the vision from a variety of perspectives. That's the gifting, the calling, and the anointing of both the candidates and the accountability partners, and obviously the ordination council. Each day we will be looking at none of them are more than a 7 to 8 minute read, if that. So it's really geared towards, you know, giving it like a 15 minute and then being able to think on it and apply it throughout your day as we take it to our various marketplaces, as we apply it within our ministry, within our households. One thing that we have to begin to focus on is I do remember when the ministry talked about doing home checks, and that is something because one of the things that it must start at home, and so we have to begin to have an understanding how to walk in it in our homes first before we can even begin to think about the application of it daily within our ministries or within the marketplace, because that's where we're going to become rooted at.
Amen.
So that is what we will be looking at. So we will be looking at the parables. The consecration will run from June 30th until August the 16th, because on the 17th we will be at the hotel. So hopefully at that point we will be prepared for the manifestation of the full word of the parables and the application of them in our different workshops when we come together. And so some of the things that we want to just begin to think about, because no matter whether you are a group one or a group two, and just going back, it's just a good practice, a good application to begin to look at what a Christ-centered life would look like. And one of the reasons why we're looking at what a Christ-centered life would look like and what does it mean to live is Christ. One of the things we're doing that is because these parables are Christ speaking. So we need to be able to lay flesh aside and lay our self agendas aside
if we, because we are called to do greater. And one of the things that we have to remember is that the parables are not intended for everyone to have a comprehension of. So once we have been given enlightenment to them, it becomes a requirement that we have a plan for application of them within our various ministries and within our various walks. And one of the things, one of the goals oftenly is for us to know our people group. Well, as we know our people group, our audience, they will have an ear to hear us. We need to have an idea and a plan. I don't want to call it a script because it will not always follow a script, but definitely have it intertwined in our heart, how to bring forth truth. And one of the things that these parables bring forth within the life of Christians is how to live is Christ. And that is our goal, that we will be the light of Christ in the earth, that we will die so that Christ and the agenda of heaven, the agenda of God, his word will manifest through us. And that part of that word and the growing of that word will be these parables. Understanding the secrets of heaven. And that's what the parables are. And so when we come together on Thursdays, once the consecration begins, to have an idea or to have a vision, to have them all come together in one place, the vision through through the apostle, through the bishop, through the various types of these gifting callings and anointing, because every evangelist will not speak to every person, every bishop will not open up the authority to every level of people group. Every apostle will not set forth ministries to every people. So, and every elder will not speak to every people group. So we need to, and every teacher does not teach everybody and does not teach everything. Now, can we? Yes. But will we know? There is a group that people set that are waiting for these things to blossom within us so that they can eat off of us, so that we can drop them, so that we can share them and be fed again, be nurtured, blossom again, and the cycle will continue because we will grow. We will be pruned through this process. And so that is what prayerfully this consecration will do for us. And we will come together August the 17th, full and ready to be spilled out.
Amen.
Any questions? If you have any, you know, this is an opportunity. You can ask your question. If something wasn't clear to you, or if you're not sure you heard it, you have opportunity to put your phone on, take it off mute, and to ask your question as we are on the line. Or you can text me. And always remember, you can go to the archives in Blog Talk Radio and get the session and review it. Listen to it and review it for details that you may feel that you have missed. And before the session is over, I'll give you that Blog Talk address again so that you can make note of it, but it is in your paperwork on your 2017 schedule. You will find the Blog Talk Radio /LFC-WordLifeCenter address that you can go and get your sessions on demand. And you can just pick the week that it is that you want to hear. So do we have Bishop on the line now to share with the candidates the information into
Yes, I am on the line.
Amen. Okay, amen, Bishop.
I'm here. I'm here.
It's in your
give
hand.
Me one.
Amen.
Give me one moment.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they can take this opportunity to
stay home
ready.
And you know, eat before you shower.
Yeah, I know it's ready. Huh?
Okay, that's a lot of feedback.
Yeah.
You
have to just sit down. I'm
doing my own voice right now. Otherwise, we won't be able to hear. I don't know if it was this.
So?
Yes.
Okay.
Amen.
Okay. That wasn't, that feedback wasn't mine.
No.
Hold it.
I'm going to put everybody on mute to try to get that background noise out. But that does take a few seconds. If you can just bear with us. It's your phone on mute for a moment.
My phone has been on mute.
Of a board that's going. So what? Okay, Bishop.
Yeah, my phone has been on mute. So.
Okay.
Once again, I didn't want to get blamed for it.
No.
I'm messing with you.
It's hard to decipher. So everybody is on mute because I don't know exactly
right.
Where it comes, where that feedback comes from. And so just so that we can all hear, so if you have anything you want to share, just text it to me. Okay, Bishop, it's on you.
Okay. Well, first, before I address this assignment briefly, and I'll be as brief as I can, I guess I wanted to say I enjoyed the first part about, and I hope we can have more discussions at the conference in regards to the gender roles. I enjoyed the talk. I thought that the biblical scriptures were superb. The desire that I have and I would hope is being communicated that it isn't about the position. It's not about the position. I think God's heart desire is not questioning whether you're the apostle, prophet, whether you're being used or not. I think the heart desire becomes, would the woman, despite the office, allow the male to lead. Allow the male to lead, because I think that becomes the core issue and the question. When I think about Deborah and I think about that story, no matter what, even though she was the judge, it was never a doubt in her mind. She was pushing the male to lead, and I think that's one of the things we need to be very sensitive about. It's not about the position. It's not about your anointing. It's not about your office. We are very clear that the Holy Spirit has been poured out on everyone. We are very clear about that. But at the end of the day, I wonder can the woman allow the male to lead? Now, the two examples that I have would be a Dr. Apostle Shawnette Horton. She is the presiding prelate over the organization. I am under her, and despite her position and her office, there's not one time that I can sit here and say she has not pushed the men to lead. She has always pushed the male to lead. We was in Israel, and one of the biggest concerns that the Israelites have was about women wearing prayer shawls. It's not really accepted in that culture, and the humbleness, and you know what, we're going to respect that about the culture, about
mm-hmm.
what's going on, you know. So
mm-hmm.
I just think it's, you know, I would love to have definitely more conversation with that during the AEN conference about those gender roles, because I think at the end of the day, that's going to be the determining factor. Because I'm not concerned about denominations. I'm not concerned about house rulings. I'm concerned about, you know who you are. You know what God has given you. Now, can you allow the male to get back in the position? Because when you're in that position and then a male under you rises up, what is going to be your response? Are we going to have debates about who's more anointed, or are we going to allow God's glory? And the Bible makes it very clear that women are the glory of men. Are we going to allow God's glory to rise up to that position or into that area? You know, so I'm definitely looking forward to a great discussion with that. And so with that, I'll lead into I think we did elders. I thought you wanted to do ministers and deacons. And there was another one, but I can't
Amen.
Remember what the – what the third one was. But either way, when we're looking
pastors.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so when we're looking at these offices
but we'll do pastors on a separate day. We'll do pastors by
Thank
themselves.
The
but yeah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Grace to you for that. And so once again, when we're looking at ministers and we're looking at deacons, everyone at the foot of the cross, we are all equal. However, when it comes to the responsibilities, the duties, and the anointing on each one of the offices, it's going to have different weights, and it's going to look different. Once again, you get into this, what would be the roles? What is the understanding? It's not that the minister can't do the duties of the deacon. It's not that the deacon can't do the duties of the minister, but it's about understanding, what does each office hold? What does each office, the responsibility? What is God's expectation? Especially coming through the Apostolic Ecumenical Network, and how we are to move forward. And so, it's about position. It's about where would each person be positioned. Now, deacons are typically, they are both offices. The concern for the office is to be very concerned about menial tasks. So the thing that we think is not important, the first thing that needs to come into all of our minds, it's probably important, and it's probably a major concern to God's heart. And so when we look at positions of the minister as well as the deacon, the position of a minister is typically within the tabernacle or the temple of the Lord. This is where they're serving. They are the disciples to the pastors, if you will. They are students that are constantly in the Word. They are students that are constantly studying. They are students that take care and concern to every ministerial duty within the house of the Lord. And so their priests, if I have to give an example, that would live in the temple, if you will. It's not about the public speaking. Their duties are always assigned close to the heart of God. So, for example, communion. Communion needs to be set up. It's not the concern of who sets up the communion. The concern becomes the articles and the equipment and the consecrated tools that we use in communion should be taken care of with care and concern. And typically this is where ministers would step in, because they are the articles of God, and they would make sure that not that it's just clean, but it's sacred, and they would hold that close to their hearts. And so ministers would also be the ones to also be able to conduct services within the house of the Lord when the general overseer or the pastor, senior, whatever title they're using, the head of that assembly isn't in place. Know typically on how to move forward and execute what needs to happen in the house of the Lord. And so you would find the minister typically under, serving very closely to that presbytery or that leadership, ensuring that the order of the service is always moving forward or in the direction. So we talk about having ushers in a church and, you know, standing guard. Well, ministers need to begin to see themselves as being able to stand guard within the house when it comes to having concerns about what needs to happen within the house of the Lord when it comes to that. Okay? And then outside of the church, if a minister is conducting funerals or weddings, if they have given that dispensation, it's always under the direction of, you know, allowing their leader to know where they're at. Why? Because you can't just go anywhere. You know, even I'm a bishop, and by right I can go anywhere I desire, but you know what? Order, divine order says that I'm accountable to individuals that I serve with, that I'm in ministry with. And so I always check, because it's important, because there may be something lying ahead that I just may not see. That's the beauty of accountability. That's the beauty of submission. That's the beauty of understanding God's heart. That's the beauty of it. That's the beauty of it. And so I definitely want to part that. Now, study in the Old Testament about ministers would suggest that when they are doing the work of the ministry, if I say it like that, the work of the ministry, you would fund it out of your own pocket. That's the historical study of it. You would come up with the finances. You would come up with the way of paying for any ministry done in a public service that comes out of your pocket and does not fall traditionally and historically to the biblical evidence on the church. So, you know, and we can explain more about that definitely later. The deacon, as you will, could serve in the positions of the minister at some level. They're apt to teach. They're apt to do a lot of other things. But once again, these are the individuals that take care of those, and I'm going to use the word again, menial tasks. You'll say like, well, who should get the toilet paper? Well, ministers and deacons can do it. However, typically, deacons would be the one to make sure that there is toilet paper within the house. They would be that individual who would step out and make ensuring that the functions of the temple are occurring. So, for example, it should never be a question in any deacon's mind, there's snow outside, who's going to shovel? Well, you go to the store, you purchase the shoveling. Why? And it does, well, the church didn't give me a budget to go. You come out of your own pocket because we're serving. And that's the mindset. We do everything unto the glory of the Lord. Therefore, what we do in secret, he would make public. And we understand that. But it's always making ensuring that the tools, the utensils, the things are presented within the house of God so that the ministers can do what is necessary. The minister shouldn't have to run out to the store to go pick up the grape juice. We know it's Communion Sunday coming up. The deacons can ensure that. The deacons, why? Because historically and biblically, deacons were given in charge of the ministry. And so one of the strongest qualifications of the deacon and the minister, according to Acts 6, is that they be full of the Holy Spirit. You cannot do any task within the house of the Lord without being full, because there is a lot to be done. And so these ministers who are serving and literally waiting tables and literally administrating money and food to the parishioners, and you're talking about millions of people, seven men chosen to do that had to be full of the Holy Spirit so that they could understand and divvy out the assignment what was appropriate. The Bible would say it, rightly dividing the word of truth, teaching as well. And so they're gifted to teach. They're gifted to study the word of God. Everyone should be disciplining themselves or studying to show themselves approved. Once again, we're not going to argue about can a woman be a deacon or a deaconess. It's very clear because the Bible talks about Phoebe serving as a deacon or a deaconess, if you will, or whatever. And we understand those are tradition. We use a tradition, but the deaconess in the Bible, according to Romans 16 in the Greek, is defined as servant. And so we're servants of the Most High. And if we don't see ourselves as serving the Most High God, the High Priest, then I think this is where we get trapped into, I feel I'm not being recognized. I feel, no, because God sees everything. The Bible makes it very clear that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. And so you have deacons, and they bring that structure, they bring that order, they carry out the assignment of what is necessarily administratively on some levels so that the temple is functioning. And therefore, the ministers can carry out the order of service that is necessary. And so, once again, at the foot of the cross, everyone's equal, but yet we all have been given a certain weight of God's glory that needs to be carried out. And so the most important thing that I want everyone to take out of this is to ensure that they are studying to show themselves approved, that they are looking at the Hebrew, the Greek definitions of what the titles mean, searching the scriptures to see that is so, so that they don't have questions about it. I have said previously before, a lot of us come from different ministries, and thus, for some of us, you know, we won't be recognized there. But the beauty of this is if God has recognized you here, that you still should have that heart to serve in that capacity, whether you have that title or not. You don't have to question it. You would then submit yourself to your house and follow the order that is necessary and still function with full capacity so that the ministry and the work of the ministry can go on, so that saints are perfected, and this is according to Ephesians 4, and the body is being edified. And once we set our visions on what God wants and not what our flesh wants or what man wants, then we will find out that we are becoming fitly joint in love every day and every moment. Amen.
Amen. Awesome. And we want to let everyone know these are just brief summaries we're giving you. We'll go more in depth during our conference when you're able to one-on-one ask very specific questions. But we just need you to get a clear understanding of the AEN ministry position as it relates to the offices that we ordain and consecrate and license. And that's what this these weekly things are geared towards, just whetting your appetite. And as Bishop said, we will go into more detail during the conference as it relates to the roles of men and women. There are a lot of questions that will come up in your ministry, and that is the task that has been assigned to this AEN process for you to perfect your leadership, to direct and to clarify some things, and then to just establish the fact some things over the last 2,000 years have not been clarified, you know, and they do still remain not contentions, but differences and their knowledge. And it's just so that we know them. And as Bishop said, know who you are in Christ. And that is our desire. And that is the gold. And so we appreciate your time. We want to be good stewards over it. We want next week for the elements of accountability will be companionship. It's taken from Genesis 2 and 19 and Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Up next week is Minister Melvin Avante and Prophet Ken Hesk. We do ask you, Apostle Overton, to oversee that your candidate has this information. So if there be nothing else, we will close out in prayer. We do ask that
overseer,
a man. Yes.
Just wanted to ask, was there another question hanging out there? Was there ever discussion about the question of whether you could teach something that you weren't experiencing, so to speak? Or did I miss that?
Yeah.
Did I maybe miss that call or miss that conversation?
Yes, you did. That was done on the for the 15th by Evangelist Poole. Evangelist Janet
okay.
Poole.
Well, you know what? I heard
that.
Okay. I'm sorry. I
yes,
just thought that
very,
that had.
No,
excuse
no problem.
Me, I thought that that hadn't been addressed. My bad.
Yeah, it had. Yes, definitely. Very well scripturally supported and presented, and we do appreciate that. And so.
Yeah, absolutely. I do recall it.
Yes. So next week, we companionship, Minister Avante and Apostle Hester, and our question will be addressed by Elder Parker, Elder Yvette, and Apostle Overton. What is a miracle? What is a parable? And how are they connected? And next week, we will review the office of Minister Sherita.
Oh, well.
Yes. Hello?
That's our 7 o'clock, too.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
We're doing the office of
the evangelist.
Evangelist, amen. And pastor. No. Pastor Marla said we did pastors already, but
yeah,
we'll do evangelists. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you. Will you close us out in prayer? Thank you, Minister Sherita.
We did.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody saying something or?
Will my food at?
I think somebody's phone should be on mute, and that wife should give their husband their dinner. Okay, I would call names, but I won't. But I know the voice of that husband. Okay, this is all real life. Okay, this is what ministry is.
You know what? Uncut. Oh, God. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, oh, God. We thank you, oh God, for every presentation, Heavenly Father. We thank you for every leader that's availing themselves, oh God, and sharing, oh God. Oh God, we are all so hungry and desire to know more about us within you, Heavenly Father. And so, God, as we close this evening, oh God, we thank you. Heavenly Father, for you just being God, I ask that you bless them, Heavenly Father, tonight. If they're traveling or working, oh God, you give them the grace and the mercy necessary to get the task done, oh God. God, once again, we thank you for the visionary over this ministry, oh God, and all, oh God, that is that you have poured within her heart even now, Heavenly Father. Oh, God, thank you, oh, God, for the overseer of this ministry, over the portion of the ministry, oh, God. And we thank you for her diligence, oh, God, in bringing people together, oh, God. God, we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you will begin to enlighten each and every one of us about who we are in you, oh, God, so that we can stand in this last day, oh, God. We thank you, oh, God, for what you are doing in this body of leaders that is stepping up, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the mission that you have for them, oh God, in this day and age, oh God, during this hour, Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, have thine own way in their lives even now, oh God. God, I pray, oh God, that every distraction and every anxiety and worry, oh God, that they would cast their cares upon you because you care for them. Oh, Heavenly Father, until we meet again next Thursday, oh Heavenly Father, we thank you, we love you, God, we acknowledge your presence, we praise you, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. Amen. Amen and amen. Be blessed. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Blood.